Hello and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. Tonight we bring you another classic story, first published in All Story Weekly, November 16th, 1919. The tale is called Oh Fanny by Raymond Lester, and it begins on a fall afternoon in New York. Two young ladies, Fanny Aden and Ruth Nevins, dressed to the nines, wander idly through Gimble's ladies' wear. They avidly fondle materials and furs as they move through the department. They try on the newest cloche hats, which fit like a treat on their fashionably bobbed hair. The small blonde girl smiles as the taller, dark-haired girl sits down in front of a mirror and pulls on a jazzy little number, plain, but with three different hues of purple.
Gee, Fanny, that purple number sure is the bee's knees. No applesauce. I'm keen on that look.
I don't know, Ruth. It's a bit dear, you know. I've stretched my allowance as far as it goes this month.
Your friend is so right, miss. The hat becomes you. I've seen many try that hat on without noticing a thing. But on you, why, it brings out your eyes and complexion. Yes, it does.
You really think so?
Oh, yes, miss. I think that chapeau was just made for you. It would be a crime for you not to take it.
Well, I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either anymore. The light has changed or something. I'm definitely not as keen as I was, and, well, I'm not as stuck on it as I thought I was. Let's get a wiggle on. Maybe Macy's?
I was there the day before yesterday. They have nothing as up-to-date as
I'm afraid my friend is right. The more I wear this, the less I like it. Maybe I'll think it over and try it again tomorrow, but for now it's time to get a wiggle on. Come on, Ruth.
The two young women moved nonchalantly away from the counter and down the next aisle. Then they slipped between two racks of dresses, well out of sight of shop girls and shoppers.
So I saw you give the signal. What gives? I could have lifted some good stuff, Fanny, if you hadn't cheesed the deal. If you just distracted that shop girl for a few minutes, I could have nabbed some good stuff, pins and brooches. There were a lot of valuable knickknacks sitting on the countertop. And that sweet little hat.
Maybe at the end of next week after she's forgotten us. It goes missing now, and she's sure to figure things ain't on the up and up. She's no dumb Dora, even though she's just a poor working girl. No, we gotta get out of here. There was a guy, I think he was a store cop, and I caught him looking at us several times, I would swear. Nah, we better not take any chances. Let's scram. That guy gives me the creeps. Besides, there are better pickings elsewhere.
Say, this looks like a swell piece of fur. Now, if no one is watching, I'll just slip it around.
No, don't, Ruth. Leave it alone. There's that creepy guy again.
Scarcely the last word of her warning left Fanny's lips when Ruth Nevin returned the fur to its place on the rack. Her wide-set, innocent blue eyes flashed an inquiring look of alarm. Without a word, she followed her companion. Fanny, tall, distinguished, and predatory, led the way to the elevator.
There's a jinx on us today. I am not superstitious, but when the same detective-looking fellow shadows two innocent-looking young girls like us through two stores, it is time to go home. He is sticking to us like glue. It doesn't feel right. No, we'll try it again another day.
Such a beautiful little neck piece it was, too. Real sable. Don't you think you must have made a mistake? Store detectives don't work for different firms, do they? It might have been a different guy. Or perhaps he's on the prowl for young girls. Maybe he's only some kind of masher. Well, that's it. He must be some kind of pervert. Let him try grabbing one of us. We can bash him with that mannequin once he gets to being fresh and all, huh? What do you say? That'll take care of him.
Hey, it is my job to watch and yours to pinch. I'm the eyes and you do the lifting. But take a look over your shoulder as we go out. Why, that fellow couldn't smile at a girl if she was a princess. He's a cop of some kind, take my word for it. We don't want to be within three blocks of his ugly face. Listen, I am wise about these things, Ruthie. Maybe he works for the police force. Or maybe the stores are working together on some kind of follow-up system. One way or other, he's a nasty-looking brute. He gives me cold shivers every time I set eyes on him. Here, take a peek at him from behind this coat rack. See? Gray overcoat, green tie, flat-footed. It has a face like a stale hamburger.
Oh, Fanny, he's coming our way.
Sure he is, and he will keep coming our way until the stores close or we quit. There's no doubt about it. He is on our tail. We'd better beat it right now. Anyway, the stores will be closing in another 10 minutes, and we could try another day when things aren't so hot. Let's scram. We can take the trolley.
At the corner of 34th Street, the girls boarded an uptown car. Just as they were settling into their seats, the brutish-looking man entered the car and sat directly across from them. Fanny's dark eyes burned with resentment.
Does the big boob think we're a couple of dips, or is he playing for time?
He gives me the heebie-jeebies, all right. Yes, sure, he's a cop. Why is he still chasing us?
I don't know, and I don't want to find out.
In no wise perturbed by the looks of scorn bestowed upon him by the stylishly dressed pair, the gentleman with the hamburger countenance stolidly kept his seat until it was time for the stores to close. Then he abruptly stood up and departed the trolley car.
We made it! Home at last! So you think that guy was really after us?
After us? Of course he was after us. Didn't you catch on to his game? He followed us all afternoon, spoiled some of the best chances we ever had to lift some quality goods, and quit when he knew that all the department stores were closing. The dirty rat!
Better luck tomorrow. Maybe.
Maybe? I'm off the hopeful stuff. This is where we pack up and go. That fellow is on our trail, and I don't think he plans to let up. He'll most likely be waiting for us again tomorrow morning. I'll bet he's got our height, weight, and style of beauty all card indexed by now. He's had time enough in all the stores, and while we were in that trolley, he checked up on us in 40 different ways, from the color of our shoes to our hairstyles. Tomorrow morning, every house detective from 14th to 42nd Street will be snooping around looking for a dainty little girl with a mole on the side of her nose. That's you. As for me, even these homely low-heeled shoes won't let me pass in a crowd without my head projecting a good 2 inches above everyone else. Each of us might work alone, but the two of us, not a chance. The combination, actually, the long and the short of it, is enough to give us away now that we've been spotted. It's too bad to think we'll have to split up the partnership or move. I hear Chicago is nice this time of year, and Marshall Fields is a great...
I can't do anything by myself! Well, you know that. Besides, I don't want to. We work so well together and get along just fine. Why, I'd rather take a job than give you up. Or this place, for that matter. It is the only home either of us have had for a long time. Buck up, hon. I guess you'll think differently tomorrow. Anyway, that beast didn't trail us home.
No need for him to. He doesn't care where we live. All he wants to do is catch us on the job with the goods on us. We might get away with it for a day or even a week, but now that he's spotted us, sooner or later he will catch us red-handed. He's big and ugly and slow on his feet, but those little pig eyes of his are gimlets that bore holes right through my brain and give me the willies. I tell you, I got an instinct for this, and the moment I laid eyes on him, the first thing that popped into my head was police courts and the nasty smell of a 3x7 cell with cement floors and bars on the windows. No, Ruth, that man is trouble just waiting for us to do something stupid.
Oh, Fanny, do stop. I'll make a cup of tea. That'll cheer us up. Just think how hard we've worked to gather all these nice furnishings. I mean, we have a gramophone with a whole cabinet full of records. That couch you're sitting on set us back a pretty penny, what with the expense of upholstery and walnut scroll trim. We have these comfortable easy chairs, the thick velvety carpet, silk curtains on the windows, and expensive bedroom sets. Altogether, we're very well situated here, and we worked darn hard to get to where we are. Are you willing to give all this up just because some creepy fella was following us this afternoon?
Yeah, you're right there. We are well set with 3 rooms and a private bath for only $75 a month. It is a select neighborhood. We have a closet full of expensive clothes. And, oh, my gosh, I almost forgot. Tomorrow the rent is due, and
oh, no!
What's the matter, Ruth?
Well, the kettle's boiling, and there's not a speck of tea.
Well, let's have coffee, then.
There isn't any. There's nothing in the place but condensed milk and condiments. What? It looks like a bachelor's cupboard.
Nothing to eat?
Well, there's a bag of beans.
Beans? Did you forget to place an order with the grocer?
No, I didn't. They told me they wouldn't send any more food unless we brought our bill up to date. I didn't want to say anything to you about it this morning because I didn't want you fretting about it all day. I thought surely we'd have some cash tonight. That wretched detective made me forget everything. Drove it right out of my head. Oh, Fanny, what shall we do?
That's done it. No money to speak of. All the hock shops closed. No credit and nothing but condensed milk, condiments, and dried beans in the house. It's time I got busy. I'm not going without anything to eat tonight. So shut up and let me think. We've been up against it before, and when the old game is petered out, I've generally managed to pull off something or other. Here, hand me that phone directory. Thanks. Now, let me see. Yes, perhaps that will work. Give me a few minutes to change, Ruth. I'll be right back.
But what are you going to
do? Ruth, button your lip. It won't take me long.
Wow, I'll say you changed. What's with the plain black dress? And you have your hair all smoothed down and parted in the middle? What's that lace handkerchief doing on your head? You look like some sort of servant or something.
Don't gop. Now, where did I put my long black cape?
Oh, I know where it is. We put it in a box and stored it in the top of the closet. At least you seem to be in better spirits.
Yes, I think I've made some progress. Fetch that black cape for me. Hurry. We don't have time to dawdle. Then give me one of those lace doily things and fix me up with a dinky little apron like a maid wears. Run a thread round the edge and make it frilly. You know the kind of thing I mean. I'm the new maid at Mrs. Trevor's.
Are you really? Well, how'd you get the job so fast?
No, I'm not really Mrs. Trevor's maid. It's just a hustle to get us some food. Now hurry. Her home is only 3 blocks west, but I've got to get to the grocery store before it closes. I know where she deals. I've seen the delivery wagon outside her place, and I can make an order on her account to get us something to eat, at least for tonight.
Oh, that is sheer genius, Fanny. How do you manage to always think of something?
Never mind that. I'll be back with the eats in a half an hour, unless I get caught. And I don't think that's going to happen. Now, there's no real danger of getting popped, I don't think. And thank goodness this is a walk-up apartment. No nosy hall boys piking around. Get out the best service, Ruthie. Fanny's coming home with the bacon.
After placing the order at the grocery store and charging it to Mrs. Trevor's account, Fanny hurried to the somber brownstone mansion where Mrs. Trevor lived. After surveying the grounds, she hid in the shadows near the back door, waiting for the delivery wagon to arrive. Through the kitchen window, she heard a strange conversation taking place between two house servants who were cleaning dishes and silverware.
It's a shame the Miss Sister fell ill tonight, and Miss Trevor had to go stay with her. She seemed very out of sorts when she left because she can't go to the opera tonight.
Oh, you know how she gets when anything gets in the way of her entertainment.
Yes, but she took all her best jewels out of the bank today so she could wear her best finery to the theater this evening.
That is not our concern. You've got enough to worry about without worrying about that, my girl. Best get on with the chores.
Yes, but it makes me so nervous having such valuable objects in her bedroom and just you and I here to protect them.
Oh, there's the delivery wagon. I'd better stop him before he gets too close. Whoa there!
Oh, hello there, Marty. Oh, what you say? You ain't.
It's all right. I'm Mrs. Trevor's new maid, and I'll take the delivery here.
But I usually pull clear up to the kitchen door, and then Marty comes out.
Yes, I know. But Maud is off for the night, and Mrs. Trevor's sister is very ill, and she is concerned that the sound of the horse and wagon might disturb her sister's rest.
I don't know about that.
Those are Mrs. Trevor's orders. Sorry to make you come out so late, but cook ran short. Thank you. Good night.
Night, cutie. Giddy up, Bessie.
Thank heaven it worked. Now back to the apartment.
Why, I've seen less at Christmas.
It wasn't a very big heist, But if I may say, as I shouldn't, it worked rather nicely. I only wished I could have ordered more, but I couldn't for fear the parcel would be too heavy for me to carry.
But what would you have done if they'd checked with the cook? Supposing the boy hadn't bought it?
I'd have told him what a lovely young man he was, and used all my wiles to keep that from happening. I was all primed for anything like that. Sometimes, Ruthie dear, I'm nearly as good with my head as you are at filching things from shop counters. Now, I guess we'll make a start on that canned lobster and mayonnaise. There's crackers and coffee, dates, chocolates, shrimps, pickles, sardines, 2 cans of peas, and, oh, well, there's everything we need to see us through for tonight, for at any rate.
Oh, this is wonderful, Fanny. Let's eat.
Halfway through the feast, so easily but so illicitly obtained, Fanny drifted from talkativeness to absent-minded inattention.
Say, among all that junk we've got stowed away, there's a couple of fluffy opera cloaks, aren't there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Think we can fake up a pair of classy evening dresses?
Well, yeah. There's a pink silk thing you wore when we did the society act at Atlantic City, and I've got that crepe
linen. Of course, that's it. Get them out while I talk. When I've finished, you can tell me if you'll take a chance. I heard something tonight while I was waiting for that grocery boy. Now listen, Mrs. Trevor was due to go to some social affair tonight, but her sister's been sick, and she had to put it off. I heard the maid tell the cook that she was scared stiff, and that made me listen all the more.
Who was scared stiff? Mrs. Trevor?
No, the maid. Don't butt in, Ruth. I'll bet there's $5,000 or $10,000 worth of jewels in the house and nobody there but those 2 servants. Thinking she was going to wear the family heirlooms, Mrs. Trevor got them out of the bank this afternoon. Now they're in her boudoir. I know, because I heard the maid tell the cook all about it. Are you on, Ruthie? A little bluff and we'll be on Easy Street.
But how are you going to get in?
Dress and a line of talk, plus a little on-purpose accident. Get an iron, and while we're getting all the creases out of our glad rags, I'll give you the cues.
Yes, may I help you, ladies?
Why are you peeking at us through the crack in the door? You afraid of burglars or something?
It is 10 o'clock at night, and we're not used to...
Well, do we look like a couple of burglars? We've made arrangements to see Mrs. Trevor this evening. Until her sister became ill, we were scheduled to attend the opera with her. Hasn't she reached home yet?
No, miss. I apologize. Please come in. I don't think Mrs. Trevor will return until about 11.
Oh, but we can't wait until then. We thought she would surely be home from her sister's by now. What an awful nuisance. Our car has left to pick up a friend, so we'll have to stay a few minutes.
Won't you step in here, into the drawing room? You'll be more comfortable there than standing out in the drafty foyer.
Thank you. That is most kind. Oh, gracious! Look what I have gone and done to myself! I have caught my dress on that umbrella stand and put a huge rip in it. It is ruined!
No. Ain't so bad as all that, miss. I'll get a needle and thread and sew it up for you. The missus always brags a bit on my needlework. I'll have you mended in an instant. Wait here. I'll fetch what I need.
Was that your on-purpose accident?
Yes. Now, Ruth, quick, up the stairs.
Nope, this is the bathroom.
Further along, then. Aha, the boudoir. The light is on, and I would guess from this copy of All Story magazine laying on the floor near a chair that our little maid has been guarding the jewels, waiting for the return of Mrs. Trevor. Look, the key to the door is here, on the inside. She was prepared to lock it in case of intruders.
Here, I'll take the key for safekeeping.
That's better than safe cracking. Now you take the bureau. I'll go through the dressing table. Ah, I've got them. Look, Ruth.
Oh, Fanny, look at them sparkle.
They are the real thing, all right.
Oh, yes, Fanny. With these, we'll be on Easy Street. Oh, Fanny, there's the door. Oh, what'll we do?
I just hope it isn't Mrs. Trevor coming home early.
Agnes? Agnes, where are you? Where are you, girl?
Very quietly, Ruth. Let's step out and look over the banister so we can see what's happening.
All right. You go first.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Trevor. On account of the accident, I just ran up to the attic to fetch my sewing things for the young ladies. Now, where did they go? They were here, in the drawing room. One of them tore her dress. I just went to my room to fetch a needle and thread to repair it, and...
Oh, what young ladies? What are you talking about? You let strange women into the house and... My jewels! You let them in my house when my jewels are here. You fool!
Quickly, Ruth, lock the door and come this way.
The door is locked. They must be inside. Run down and telephone the police, quick! Run! I'll stay here and keep guard.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Trevor. I didn't... They seem to know you and your ailing sister.
Just go, girl! Quickly!
I didn't. Oh, dear. Operator, please connect me with the police station. Yes, that one. Thank you. Sergeant, this is Mrs. Trevor's maid. We've been robbed, sir. Can you come right over? Yes, we're at... Thank goodness. Only 10 minutes. That was fast, Sergeant. Upstairs, please. Quickly.
Good evening, Mrs. Trevor. Your maid says you have the culprits trapped.
Break down the door, Sergeant. There are only 2 girls in there. They don't pose you any danger.
All right. Stand back, ladies.
Where are they, Agnes?
I don't know, Mrs. Trevor. I don't know what happened.
Sorry, ma'am. Appears the birds have flown, but I'll check the room. There's no key in the door on the inside. Where's the key?
Idiot! They locked it from the outside. They weren't in here. They're long gone, and they have all my jewels.
And by that time, it was too late to capture the young ladies, even though they were just a few blocks away in their own little flat. The 2 girls stood admiringly over a pile of glittering jewels that lay on the kitchen table.
Some hole, but what a narrow squeak we had. How do you think quick enough to get us out of there? I was scared out of my wits.
That's because your fingers are quicker than your brain, hon. That bathroom was certainly handy, and the position of that telephone was another thing in our favor. Just fancy the old girl wearing her knuckles out on the door and never thought to look behind her when we were slipping down the stairs. She never even heard the front door latch click as we went out. I wonder, too, what she'll make of the bill for our eats when she gets it.
Oh, Fanny, you're...
The limit, and she has reached it.
What were you doing in our bedroom? Oh, of course. It's you, the man who's been following us all day. Genius Hamburgian.
Genius what?
Never mind. What's the meaning of you breaking and entering into our apartments? Are store detectives in the habit of...
Store detective? Oh, no, miss. I am on the police force, and we have been watching you for some time.
Sounds like he's on to us, Fanny.
That's right, young missy. You are both headed for jail.
Oh, this is terrible. It's what I always feared.
Now, don't cry. Jail ain't so bad. It's better than prison, or so I hear. Look, I am not a heartless man. I will give you both time to take off those fancy duds and change into something more appropriate to living in a jail. I'd wear older clothes if I was you.
That is very humane of you.
And while you're changing, I will gather up this evidence.
That's fair. I guess you caught us red-fingered. We'll go change.
Now, I know there ain't another way out of that bedroom. I checked, so don't think you can give me the slip. All right, ladies? Got it?
Yes, yes, we've got it. Come on, Ruth. I know when I'm licked.
Well, I guess it really doesn't matter what I wear now.
If I was you, I'd stick with something you don't really like, so if it gets torn up, it won't really matter. And don't dress in bright colors. We don't want to attract any more attention than necessary when we get to the jail. If we stay low profile, maybe I can figure a way to get us out of there.
Do you think so?
We'll just have to wait and see. All right, detective, we're ready to... Wait, where did he go?
And where did all the jewels go?
The mean sneaking piker! Don't you see what happened? He grabbed the jewels and beat it.
Oh, heavens, this is terrible. But you said he was a detective.
That's what I thought, but it don't make any difference now. Some detectives are crooks and some crooks are gentlemen. If there's any word that fits us, say it.
Oh, Fanny.
Darn your old Fanny. Call me an ass and be done with it.
And with that, we must leave Fanny and Ruth, just as the detective did, quietly slipping away. Was he a real detective, or just a lucky swindler who happened to follow two lovely young thieves? All we know for sure is he made off with the goods and left the girls with nothing to show for all their efforts that day. We hope you've enjoyed our production of Oh, Fanny by Raymond Lester, first published in the All-Star Weekly in 1919. Our players were Jen Davis as Fanny, Amy Humphrey played Ruth, Molly Dodge was the shop girl, the cook, and Mrs. Trevor. The maid was portrayed by Pat Humphrey, and the delivery boy, the police sergeant, and the detective were played by Jeff Martin. The show narrated and engineered by Darren Helwedge and adapted for radio by Dave Collins. Amy Humphrey and Joe Hayes did the post-production. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Oh, Fanny by the Maplewood Barn Radio Players. Join us again next week at the same time for another classic story right here on KBIA.
Have you ever wanted to hear a Maplewood Barn Radio Theater play all over again? Or maybe you missed a past production? Well, now you can hear all the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater plays on the KBIA website. Once each play has aired on Friday night, it is published online as a podcast. You can stream the podcasts on your computer or download them to your device to listen to anytime, anywhere. There are many stories to choose from, including comedies, dramas, mysteries, even spooky tales. Just go to kbia.org and choose Maplewood Barn Radio Theater from the talk show menu, and never miss another Maplewood Barn Radio Theater production again.